Yesterday afternoon, protesters involved with the activist group Mosquito Fleet gathered on the Columbia River in canoes and kayaks in protest of the Trans Mountain Pipeline Expansion Project. This project would triple the current capacity of Trans Mountain, which carries crude from Alberta's oil sands to British Columbia's Pacific coast. I spoke with Graham Klumpner, an activist with Mosquito Fleet. So, Graham, I understand you are a main organizer with Mosquito Fleet. Can you tell me a little bit about what Mosquito Fleet is?
Yeah, the Mosquito Fleet is a decentralized network of water-based, like paddlers, boat drivers, community members that interact with the shores of the Salish Sea, the Puget Sound, up in Washington and British Columbia, and then all the way down to the northern border of Cascadia, so like northern California. And what we do is we prevent the movement of oil, coal, and gas infrastructure on our waterways when it's not consented to by the communities in those areas where they live.
So how did you get involved with Mosquito Fleet?
Well, a number of years ago, the Shell Corporation, which is one of the top three corporations on the planet, made a decision to push for drilling in the Arctic. And as a military veteran, I know that climate change only makes conflict worse. It creates more opportunity for war and conflict around the world. And so I started trying to find ways I could get involved to alter the trajectory of climate devastation. And I saw this company coming into the port of Seattle where I was living and trying to use it to help it set up its Arctic drilling fleet. And so we mobilized and got hundreds of different people all throughout the Pacific Northwest to block boats and do protests and create educational opportunities around the company drilling in the Arctic. And ultimately, we won when Shell pulled out of the Arctic and the Obama administration passed a moratorium on drilling.
Wow. Okay. So what brought Mosquito Fleet to Portland yesterday?
Well, members of the community over the last couple of weeks have been noticing these trains moving up and down the tracks in Washington, and they've had these really, really large pipelines, and people started asking questions and became very clear that this pipe was not only moving in Washington State, but was destined for Canada to build the largest and dirtiest pipeline on the planet, the Trans Mountain Pipeline. So we've been opposed to this for a long time. In fact, Governor Inslee, the governor of Washington, has been very explicit, both in his presidential run and before, that he was opposed to the Trans Mountain Pipeline, but he can do something about it. We now know where it's moving and when, and he can stop it from moving up to Canada and follow through on his climate pledge. For a lot of people in the Pacific Northwest, Governor Inslee's presidential run was inspiring and was something to hold up as a beacon of hope if someone's going to actually fight climate change. And, fortunately, this is moving through Washington State, so Governor Inslee has the opportunity to stop it.
Can you tell me a little bit about what the Trans Mountain Pipeline is?
Yeah, so, that's a great question. So the tar sands are this physical location in Alberta where we're talking thousands of square miles of extractive, taking sand that's filled with really, really dirty oil and separating it, pumping hundreds of millions of gallons of water into it, polluting that water permanently, and then injecting it in the ground. They basically put this all into pipes to try to ship out of Canada. The Keystone pipeline is another example of a tar sands pipeline, but this Trans Mountain pipeline would be bigger than that, be bigger than the Keystone pipeline. And basically, the Trudeau administration, the Prime Minister of Canada, when he got elected, he made a compromise and promised that he would build this. It was originally a private company that owned it. It was Kinder Morgan Company, but they pulled out because of political and social pressure from groups like the Mosquito Fleet. Ultimately, the Canadian government chose to purchase and nationalize the pipeline earlier this year. And so now we're basically fighting the Canadian government over this pipeline that's going to increase tanker traffic on our Salish Sea by 700%. We're fighting a Canadian government that is refusing to talk to numerous First Nations communities. There's over 150 of them in Canada that are explicitly opposed to this pipeline, and we still can't get the government to stop. So we're having to push it to another level. And if we have to stop this in the United States because it's coming from India through us, then we'll do that.
And so can you clarify for me, pipes that are being shipped into the Port of Vancouver, those are for the Trans Mountain Pipeline expansion, is that correct?
That is correct, yes. They are bringing them through Vancouver, Washington. we believe, because they're too afraid to bring them directly into Vancouver, British Columbia. In BC, over 70% of the population is against this pipeline, and they know there will be protests, they know there will be actions, and so they're trying to bring it in the back door.
So what can you tell me about the demonstration?
Well, there was a number of different actions this weekend trying to draw attention to this. We discovered this and we wanted to put this on the map of the world so that people know what is actually happening. You know, if you go and take a look at the web pages of the Port of Vancouver, Washington, you'll find how amazing and green the port is. But in fact, while they may not be building oil facilities that could directly affect the people here, they are still shipping fracking equipment, oil equipment destined for other parts of the country through this port. And when it comes to climate change, it doesn't matter where you burn the fossil fuels, it matters that they go into the oceans and the atmosphere. And we just cannot be digging this stuff up anymore. We need to leave it all in the ground and have a massive workers transition immediately. So if we're going to actually talk about a green world, the Port of Vancouver, Governor Inslee, these folks, they absolutely need to cease and desist immediately.
And so paint me a picture. What did the demonstration look like?
Yeah, so we had, we brought out about 50 different vessels with folks with varying skill set and safety boats, and we took them on an eco-destruction tour of the facility. So instead of going and looking at the Arctic melting, we were looking at the very thing that's melting the Arctic. And we took people on a couple of party boats and some kayaks and went over to the ship itself, hung some banners off of it, made sure that we were able to talk to a number of media sources, and then spent the rest of the time really educating the people of Portland and Vancouver about what is happening in their backyard. And people, I'm telling you, are very upset about it.
Gotcha. So you mentioned earlier a blockade of Shell in the Puget Sound. Are there other examples of what Mosquito Fleet has done in the past?
Yeah, so we've been involved in a number of campaigns. We were deeply involved with northern communities around the then so-called Kinder Morgan pipeline, back when this was a couple years ago, when this was a company pipeline and not a country pipeline. We have been involved in some of the oil facility proposals on the Columbia River from right here in Vancouver, Washington, all the way to the largest coal terminal in the world that was proposed for Ferndale, Washington, right on the Canadian border. We basically tried to operate in different communities and be able to reach across, you know, these so-called divides that exist where they say, oh, there's just left and right in this country. And it's like, no, there's rich and there's the rest of us. And so we try to work with the communities that are right around these export and import facilities. And all we're seeing, you know, when the economy is really bad and everybody's frustrated about the price of oil, you know, nobody actually gets pointed to the fact that all we're doing is exporting everything. We are, stuff is about corporations and it's about the rich making profits. It's not about national security or energy independence. We are selling the resources and the fossil fuels that are sitting right under our feet, and we're selling them to other nations. So the idea that there's any kind of patriotism connected to this is just ludicrous.
What sort of difference is there between Kai activism and other types of direct action?
Yeah, I mean, I think so Kai activism is a tool in a toolkit that people have. You can do, direct action is basically taking whatever necessary steps is needed to do the thing you need to do, right? So like if you need to stop a ship, you can go through a bunch of things. You could write a book about it and raise awareness, and you could, you know, call the newspapers, and you could that have a rally, and maybe over time there's political pressure and the people stop doing what they're doing. But sometimes you don't have time for that. Sometimes there's a thing moving, and if it doesn't get to the place it's trying to get to, then they can't build the thing that's going to kill you. So you put your body in between the thing and the building of it. That's direct action. And you can do that with kayaks. You could do that with your body. You could do that with airplanes. I mean, there's a million ways you could do that. It's just a matter of what you're trying to accomplish and keeping in mind safety and security for your people and, being really clear about messaging. Because when people see these things, we're conditioned not to push boundaries, not to come anywhere near breaking the law or even questioning why somebody made that law in the first place. You know, it's okay for a company to burn fossil fuels that's going to destroy the planet, but if somebody were to nonviolently put their body in between a, you know, a train and arriving at a station, like, to stop that burning of fossil fuels, that could be a felony. So obviously the priorities are mixed, and so putting yourselves in these situations requires a lot of, you know, thinking about what you believe in and what you stand for and how you want to be remembered if there are children and grandchildren from our generations. But we have a responsibility to step up and do something about the damage that's already been done and hold those people accountable. You know, there's an old saying that the planet isn't dying, it's being murdered, and the people who are doing it have names and addresses. And so we need to do our much, much better job identifying the fact it's not whether you ride your bicycle or not. It's not whether you buy green or recycle or not. It's about what Lockheed Martin and Boeing, and in this case, the Canadian government, is doing by completely abrogating people's democratic rights. We need more democracy, not less. And the only way that's going to come is when people like are willing to take direct action steps to solve the problems in front of us.
So I'm curious, what can our listeners do if they too are concerned about this pipeline?
Well, there's a number of things. The first thing you can do is call the Port of Vancouver and demand to know why tar sands material is moving through a green, so-called green port. The second thing they can do is they can call Governor Inslee's office in Washington, even as Oregon citizens, because you are directly affected by this pipeline. It's going to kill all of us if we don't, drastically shift our direction on climate. They can check out the Mosquito Fleet online. You can go to mosquitofleet.us and sign up for more information about future actions and pressure we're trying to put on. But at this point, the cat's out of the bag. And so we're looking to the people of Vancouver, the people of Portland, the people of Oregon and Washington to take any and all means that they can to create a situation where the Port of Vancouver and these companies are not willing to support this pipeline because they know that the people of this region refuse to support this pipeline. And that means anytime you see an opportunity to go out and protest, to do a direct action, to do blockades, to put economic pressure on the Canadian government or the Port of Vancouver, anything you can do to escalate this to a point where it is not politically or economically viable for them to build this pipeline, that's what we need people to do.
So is there anything else that you'd like to impart to our listeners today?
Yeah, I think that everybody is needed in this fight. It doesn't matter how differently abled people are. There is all kinds of access points. And again, you can go to the mosquitofleet.us and sign up for updates. You can also check out Portland Rising Tide. They've been very integral in bringing this, the awareness of this ship coming in and the fact that there will be more ships in the future. So we need people to get involved. We need resources. We need political support. We need pressure out there. Please just get involved in your communities.
Well, Graham, thank you so much for talking to me.
Thanks, Althea. You have a good day.
You too. For KBOO Evening News, I'm Althea Billings.